All right, it's another great day in Birmingham. We're so glad to be here today. We've got a great young artist with us, Jessica Channel. How are you, Jessica?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Jessica has a unique story, but first let's talk about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, you know, things growing up or whatever.
Okay, I was born and raised and still here in Birmingham, and graduated from Hueytown High School, and I went to UAB. My degree is in psychology, but I have a love for art and nonprofits and stuff, so.
Great. Now, were you at Hueytown when they built the big new high school?
I was there afterwards. The same as UAB. We were, you know, I left before we got the new student center with the Panera and the barbecue and stuff.
I went to Hueytown High School. It's been a few years and all. And I'm like, this looks like a university. It's like huge.
Wow, my mom and her siblings, they all went to Hueytown. You might know my family, actually.
That's crazy.
That is a small world. Yeah. Birmingham.
So you went to UAB also,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Tell us about your time at UAB.
UAB was very interesting. I love UAB as a school, but I didn't like my experience because I had a chronic illness, and that made it a bit difficult. It made it really difficult, actually. And I missed a whole year of school at some point. But it was really awesome when I found psychology, because I went in as a pre-med biology student, and it was fun. I love science and, you know, chemistry and all that stuff. But psychology is where, like, my heart is. I absolutely loved it, so.
It's a great, great degree, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned your chronic illness. You do have a chronic illness.
I do, yeah.
So tell us the story behind that. When did you get it? Were you born with it? Tell our audience.
So it's called eosinophilic gastroenteritis. It's a subcategory of eosinophilia, which is basically your body produces too many eosinophils in response to like an allergen or really in response to anything. And you can be born with it, but I began exhibiting symptoms when I was about 15 or 16, and it was practically overnight, I just began cyclical vomiting, which is essentially you just throw up repeatedly, like multiple times, like you don't have to eat anything, you just constantly. And then the severe like abdominal pain and pretty much anything dealing with the gastrointestinal tract, it was just not good. So I was going to the emergency room like every maybe 3 weeks, you know, I saw like maybe 3 or 4 gastroenteritis doctors, and I saw like 3 or 4 GI doctors, and gotcha. And each one of them were like, yeah, we don't know what's wrong. One of them said it could be IBS, but, you know, you're in high school. It's probably just stress. One doctor actually said, you know, you're in high school. I know you're one of the smart kids. So are you just, like, being bullied? And, you know, is this just in your head, basically, is what he actually said. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't think this is in my head, you know. My mom was like, no. So it took about 2 years to actually find a doctor that was like, okay, yeah, something's going on, you know. And then it took about 6 months to actually get a diagnosis. And my doctor was kind of like, well, the eosinophilia is so rare that I'm not sure that that's exactly what it is, but we'll just see. So with eosinophilia, it's extremely rare. It's incurable, it's basically just treated. And you treat it with, like, the elimination diet because it causes multiple allergies, and especially, like, food allergies. So I have a ton of food allergies, and so we had to do the elimination diet. And along with that, you take like corticosteroids and a lot of stuff. So, so it was a, you know, I was in, let's see, maybe my 10th and junior year in high school when I had to do this. And I actually missed my junior year in high school because of all of the medical testing and being sick like every day. So
that must have been really frustrating. First, you know, 15 or 16 year old, you go through a lot anyway.
Right.
As a teenager. And then to have doctors that aren't finding what's wrong and they're thinking it's in your head or whatever, I bet that was extremely frustrating.
Yeah, that was very difficult. And, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, my mom was, you know, there because she was my biggest advocate. And she was the one that was like, no, the doctors are wrong. This doctor's wrong. We're going to keep going until we find a doctor that, you know, actually tests and looks for things. And luckily we found one that was like, could be IBS, could be Crohn's. Like, she tested so many different things, you know, celiacs, all that stuff, before she actually got to eosinophilia. So
your mom must be a great person being so supportive.
She is. Yeah, she is. She is my biggest supporter.
That's so awesome. Yeah. So awesome. Okay, so you went through a lot of this through high school, and then you went into UAB and had some complications there, too.
Right? I did. So with the elimination diet, I was pretty much just eating, like plain chicken breasts, no seasonings or anything like that, and broccoli for about 2 years, and along with the corticosteroids. And that's what pretty much got me through my, when I re-enrolled into high school, that's what got me through my junior year and my senior year. And then did the same thing during my freshman year at UAB. And then I started having a reaction to the corticosteroids. So they took me off of those. And we just kept doing the diet and, you know, kind of experimenting with different medications and stuff like that. But there was one year where I had to just completely just stop taking classes and medically withdraw from UAB. So, yeah.
So would you say now at this point in your life, have you kind of figured out what diet you do, or are you still experimenting with that?
No, it's an experiment. Like every day it's still just kind of like, you know, hit or miss. It's kind of funny because when I did the elimination diet, one of the things that I was allowed to eat was rice, and I loved rice. So I was eating rice all the time, but I hadn't had, like, the allergy testing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have allergy testing until after the year that I missed at UAB. So that was, like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So so I had the allergy testing, and my allergist was like, yeah, you're allergic to rice, you're allergic to tomatoes. And salsa was another thing I ate, was salsa and plain tortilla chips. That was a snack for me. And I was allergic to tomatoes, allergic to yeast, soy, honey, like all the things that like I was eating and the things that were allowed on my elimination diet, I was actually allergic to, which is why it kind of never really worked. Mm-hmm. So, like, now it's like, okay, so what can I eat? What can I eat? So, you know, it's still kind of, like, figuring it out and stuff like that. So
yeah. So what about your medication? Is that leveled off, or are you experimenting with that, too?
Well, since I've, like, finished class at UAB, I decided to just stop, like, the medications and stuff because I don't really like the side effects. And my body does react to medications and like the steroids and stuff like that in a negative way. So I just decided to stop the main medications and stuff like that, and are the bigger ones with the, you know, more side effects and stuff. So I mainly try to do the diet and not eat things that trigger the food allergies, and a lot of exercise, and that's mainly like the way to like deal with it, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Do you know anyone else here in Birmingham that has what you have?
Not personally. I've met a couple of people who said at like different art shows who have like read my bio, and they were like, I have a friend with this, and they like have no idea what it is, or they've never experienced this before. They just Googled it, you know, they don't know anything about it, so they refer them to me. So, you know, that's
Well, again, we appreciate you being here because someone could be doing the same thing you were at 15 or 16, right. experiencing symptoms and not getting any answers. So to be able to share that is really important.
Yeah.
So it kind of leads us into some exciting things with your art.
Right. Yeah.
So tell us how you got started as an artist.
So art, with art, I had a cousin, he's like my brother, and he could just always draw. When we were kids, he could just draw like things like this and things like that. He could just draw it. And I was like, you know, he's like my big brother kind of. And I was like, oh, you know, I want to draw like him. Can I do it? And stick figures, can I draw them? You know, so when I was, when I got sick and we would be at, you know, Children's Harbor Center, was like where I went, you know, most kids at the mall, I'm like Children's Harbor Center like every day. And I would take like one of the nurses, I think, gave me a coloring book. And I was like, I hate coloring. Like I can't, you know, I just don't have that ability. So I was like, well, I don't know what to do with it. So I had some paper, had a pencil, so I started like kind of sketching some of the cartoon characters that were in it. And I was like, hey, this kind of looks like that character. I could kind of, you know. So I kind of like started doing that, and then I showed it to my cousin, and he would be like, yeah, it kind of looks like, you know, one of them, you know. So so I started drawing during my doctor's appointments and in the waiting room or in the car and stuff like that. And I went from cartoons to like different faces and magazines and stuff like that. So
that's did you find that therapeutic with what you were going
through?
I did.
It was like, it was definitely my biggest escape. You know, it was like I could kind of just like shut out the fact that I'm like in a hospital right now, you know, and I'm drawing, or like, you know, I got to have a barium swallow, which is where you have to swallow like a cup about this big of, barium, and it's just thick white, like if you could think about the thickest milkshake, that chalky. Is what it is. You have to swallow the whole thing so they can do imaging, you know, your body. So
yeah, I've had that done before. It's not fun.
Yeah, it's not. But that's but drawing was like my escape from all that. It was like, this is, you know, something I can control too, because you can't control, you know, the chronic illness. So that was like my way of peace. So
well, Vulcan as a Fade is big into supporting artists. We had DeWill Sama that does some different type of comic art. Mm-hmm. And Marilyn Garrett, she does a lot of different stuff. And Kelly, she does abstract type art. So we're big supporters of art. So I'm real interested to hear what type of art you do, because it's not just one particular style, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, so I kind of just, whatever brings me peace is what I kind of go with. I try not to be, like, restricted, because, like, one of the things I've learned through life is, like, you can't really control everything, and, you know, there's no need to be, like, so restrictive about things. So I just kind of, you know, I draw portraits, I do charcoal and conte drawings, and then I'll do paintings with a lot of like acrylics or spray paints, a lot of mixed media stuff, and you know, super abstract stuff. I'll take old books that people have like thrown out, or like they just give them to me, and they're like, "Hey, do something with this," and I'll hollow them out, like the old school books where you like hide jewelry or money in and stuff like that, and I'll paint them, and maybe sometimes do a design. I've been asked to do like certain books for like this one guy. He wanted to do one for his wife, so she could put their like wedding rings in and stuff like that. So that was really cool. So I did like a constellation design, because like that was one of their first dates. They went and looked at the stars. So so that's always fun. And then I do a little bit of digital art. I don't do a lot. My sister is a digital artist, but those are like my like main forms of art. It's like upcycle, abstract paintings, and drawings. So,
do you have a particular favorite right now that you like to do?
My favorite, I think, will always be the charcoal drawings, the portraits and stuff, because it's kind of where I started out. And those are actually what I take like the most time doing. Like I don't take a lot of time doing the abstract paintings. I don't, you know, I just like to like just like throw some paint or like move it or add some water and just see where it goes and then just let it dry and just go on, you know. My charcoal drawings, I'll maybe take like a couple of weeks to really like work on those. So I think that'll probably always be like my favorite.
I gotcha. So I was reading your bio and everything, and, you know, we're thankful to have you. You had mentioned something about your future and what you would like to do. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes. Yeah, so when I was sick, you know, I was 15, 16, and then, you know, when you're a kid going through, you know, becoming a teenager and then you become an adult, it's like one day you're at Children's Hospital and the next day you're at Kirkland Clinic or at UAB. It's like you just age out. And it could be very difficult being, you know, a teenager turned into a young adult during, you know, dealing with a chronic illness and high school and college and stuff. So one of the things I would really like to do is put a focus into art therapy and really focus on those young adults and teenagers who are dealing with chronic illnesses and kind of don't really have, like, you know, they might have a support system, but, like, to, like, be around people that, like, really get it and then be able to use art as, like, an escape and as a way of, like, finding peace, you know? That I think mm-hmm. that would be really awesome because I didn't have that, you know, so.
Yeah, that's exciting. You kind of learned on your own to start right. with, so now you're mm-hmm. wanting to share that.
Right.
Well, that sounds like a great thing to do. I mean, it could help people with many different chronic mm-hmm. illnesses.
Exactly.
You've got to have some sort of therapy, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, everybody deserves an escape and peace, so. Yeah. Yeah. So art is mine.
So how can everyone find out more about you and what you're up to?
So you can check out my website. It's illartpeace.com, illartpeace.com. So ill art peace because I'm chronically ill and art brings me peace. So that's what that is. And that's awesome. My handle on Facebook and Instagram. So
you're on Instagram too. Mm-hmm. Is some of your work on Instagram?
Yeah, a lot of my work. I post a lot of updates and stuff on Instagram. So if you follow me on really Instagram is like my favorite way of doing it because it's pictures. So
cool. Yeah. 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 Well, we'll definitely post some links, too, so awesome. People can find your website mm-hmm. and your different social medias.
Great.
So, listen, we really appreciate you being here, and thanks for sharing your story.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay.